lessons from the screen. What we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And as always, you're welcome. It's our pleasure to do it. Make sure that you check out our sponsors, PacSync. That's PACTSINC.org. PacSync.org. Check them out on the website. See all of the wonderful things they're doing for you and for the community. And do what you can to help them, because they're doing what they can to help you. And for those of you that are shopping on Amazon, it's been a big push to get more of you to use Amazon Smile, the platform that Amazon has created where you can continue to shop at Amazon using whatever the typical or traditional experience of Amazon shopping, but have Amazon donate according to your purchases to a nonprofit of your choice. Go to Amazon Smile, select PAX Inc. as your nonprofit program, nonprofit organization, and you will be helping them do what they can to help you. In addition to that, you can do all of the other things that are available on the website for you to show support. Take a survey, tell a friend, become a member, give a donation, volunteer, plenty of different ways to get involved and to help them do what they do. So definitely I encourage you to take those steps.
So Mr. Patrick, what's we talking about today?
Well, today's going to be a different show. And you know, every so often we play around with these different shows as we continue to try to get a feel for the audience and for what works. And, you know, even though we do feel like we have a feel, every so often we just want to, you know, do something new, try something different. We've been doing this show for 2 years roughly. So, you know, in that time period, you experiment with some things and you just see how they land. So today what we're going to do is we're just going to talk. It's not necessarily going to be one of those deeply researched, informative shows. It's just going to be a pure discussion. And we're just going to talk about what's been going on in the world today. So we're going to be covering a lot of those current event shows that we haven't necessarily given our opinion on. And we're just going to be tying a bunch of things in for the next 15, 20 minutes. Just having that discussion, those discussions that we need to have, because the world is moving so quickly right now in all senses. Economically, you have various countries continuing to go through economic crisis, like Iran, like Venezuela, like the Sudan, done shows on all of those. So those issues continue to spiral out of control with new countries joining that list. You look at China is starting to have some slowing in their growth. Hong Kong is facing some economic issues related to their protest. Even the Iranian issues I mentioned earlier, those are related to protests going on in Iran and various government decisions that were made. So economically, you've got a lot going on. Politically, there is a lot going on in the world. Again, those same countries, Iran, China, the Sudan, Venezuela. But in addition to those countries, you have the entire Middle East with Turkey, Syria. You've got the issue with the Kurds still going on. You even have the issue with Catalonia still pushing forward. And not to mention all of the various issues right here in the United States. The impeachment is moving forward. And in addition to the impeachment moving forward, there are still several other things happening politically here in America. We're still dealing with fallout from the 2015 CIA report. I'm sorry, the December 2014 CIA report, which revealed torture, the CIA's torture program that had been running for a number of years. President Barack Obama signed an executive order to try to curtail some of the abuses occurring in the CIA, but the CIA took steps to maneuver around that executive order and to impede the White House's ability to govern CIA activity. And not only that, but to impede Congress's ability to provide oversight. So, you know, those, that fallout is still occurring. And then you still have a number of different rules and policies being presented. The MATS rule, which we did a show on, talked about how they were, the EPA was going to change a rule that allowed for the power companies, the power plants, those big smoke plumes that are rising, those smoke stacks that are rising out of the power plants. They were going to basically deregulate the quantity of, or they were going to deregulate the regulations that had made it so that the quantity of particles, particulate matter, and toxic and bad stuff in those smokestacks was limited, are kept under a certain cap. And there, you know, so that's still going on. There's still the war against Obamacare. We did a show on that, against the Affordable Care Act. That is actually still going on to this at this very moment. Then you had another thing that's been going for the last year or so, is the push to propose a new rule that would kick, reportedly, or potentially reportedly kick 3.5 million people off of food stamps, with a couple tens of thousands of them being removed immediately and the others being in danger of being removed. So those issues are still ongoing. The brands versus generics discussion, when we get into healthcare, those things are still going on. The vaping crisis has been dealt with to an extent. So now they know that the issue with the vaping crisis was vitamin E. So now that they know that, I'm sure there'll be steps taken. But even in addition to that, we're still dealing with a rise in the measles, a resurgence of the measles globally, which is reportedly spurred on by the anti-vaccine movement that's going on globally. People who are saying that you shouldn't get your kid vaccinated because of these issues, these concerns they have about the vaccinations. And I'm not going to call the concerns they have invalid, but I am going to say a lot of the things that I have read from the anti-vaxxers are questionable. They are not well researched. And again, I'm not saying that there aren't some valid concerns with getting your child vaccinated. Of course they are, and that's a very personal decision. But the moment you decide to start telling other people not to get their children vaccinated, the moment you decide to start advocating for a certain type or a certain decision or a certain anything to other people, that is the moment where it is no longer your personal decision to do whatever you want to do. In those moments, you need to be well informed. You need to understand exactly what you're telling people to do and the potential ramifications of it. And you need to be able to point them to source material that can verify those claims and quiet any doubts or any apprehension they might have about listening to you. And that isn't happening in any sphere. So, you know, there are various health issues going on, and you know, we go back to the political process. That is becoming a very interesting thing right here in America, because America has always been somewhat polarized. But the majority of Americans have always acknowledged and understood that the majority of Americans exist in the middle. independents make up the majority of Americans now, and they have for at least for the last, you know, 5-10 years. But even when independents weren't a larger political part of the American discourse, the American diaspora, you still had the moderates on the left and the moderates on the right, who those people have largely now just become independent, and you're left with these two extremes on the other end. So with that, America has never really been as politically divided as it is right now. It's been close. There have been times where it's been close. But the last time we were this politically divided, and I won't say has never been, because that's not true, but the last time we were in this realm of being politically divided, the last recent occurrence of it was the Civil War. And we are in a place right now that is very dangerous politically, where nobody wants to give ground and everybody thinks the answer to the problem is to go further to their side instead of coming back the other direction. And nobody believes that true moderates exist anymore. We see this commonly displayed whenever anybody disagrees with anybody from their party, they get attacked and belittled by both sides. And it's very interesting to look at the political discourse right now, because politics is something we can't run away from. It's a part of human nature. It's a part of how we survive and how all human structure, how all human societies are structured. That structuring and that governance and that group society, the social standing, that all of that, that's all a part of politics. So whenever you get 3 people in the room, 4 people in the room, 5 people in the room, there's going to be political influence developing in that room, and politics will begin to play out immediately. So it's real interesting how some people just want to run away from politics as a whole without understanding that you can't run away from politics. It exists in your workplace. It exists in your home, in your families, your family dynamic. It exists in your circle of friends. It exists in your classroom. It exists everywhere. So it's real interesting when you watch America begin to deteriorate on the political side of things, and then you lay that out socially with all of the gunfire incidents, the shootings that are occurring all over the country all the time. Mass shootings, 3 people dead, 4 people dead, 8 people dead, 20 people dead, you know, active shooter situations, shootings at school shootings, all of these various situations. And you just look at it and you really see, from my perspective, it is political fallout, cultural fallout, social fallout, but it's all driven, or it all plays out in the discourse of this political narrative that's being pushed that says that if you're not like me, you're the enemy. And that is a political narrative. Sure, it's a social narrative and a cultural narrative as well, but it is a political narrative just as much, if not more so, than it is any of those other narratives. Because at its core, politics is the method of decision making utilized in a group. So anytime you make a decision for a group of people, you're engaged in political activity. Anytime, I'm going to repeat it, anytime you make a decision for a group of people, you are engaged in political activity. And this is one of the reasons why people running from politics is so dangerous and so damaging, because they are essentially running from the decision-making process that involves decisions and rules and regulations and policies being made that will govern the way they live their lives. Even if you feel like you don't necessarily have a say in the decisions being made, you should still try to engage in discourse engage in the discourse in which those decisions are being made. And there's more than one way to engage. It's not just about voting. It's also about spending. It's also about associations. It's also about other forms of support. It's also about showing your displeasure when you can. Every single thing you do as a member of the group that affects other members of the group and how they might look at the decisions being made by the group is political activity. So I wanted to take a moment during this show, and I know I've already been talking for about 14, 15 minutes, but I do want to take a moment in this show to just address one or two more things, because I feel like I've already addressed the political thing. Well, a little bit. So the very first thing that I took away from all these shows, and again, I've been doing these shows for 2 years, and it has been quite the journey. I've learned a lot, I've confirmed a lot, and I've done my best to condense the hours and hours and hours and hours of research that I do every single week into 20 to 30 minute bubbles that people can digest. And one of the things that has really plagued me as I have done the research on these shows is the lack of research being done by other people. When we, and this really began to manifest itself with the Mueller report, because so many people keep talking about, on the right, they're saying that the Mueller report didn't really prove anything. And on the left, they're saying the Mueller report proved everything, but Bob Mueller shot himself in the foot because he didn't come to a conclusion. And then here I am in the middle having read the report, and I'm like, both of you guys are crazy. One, he came to a conclusion. Never mind the last paragraph that they aired all over TV. He came to a conclusion. And the conclusion was that the president was guilty of obstruction of justice. Russia interfered in the elections. Against Hillary Clinton, because it wasn't necessarily for Trump, although he did try to reach out to Trump, but it was really against Hillary Clinton. Once Hillary won the primary, it became for Trump. But even in that, it was like, it's, again, it was against Hillary Clinton. And he did come to a conclusion. But he also says the reason he did not, the reason the report was not like a formal indictment is because the president is the president, and the DOJ has a policy that says that sitting presidents cannot be indicted. But he did come to as much of a conclusion as he could come to. So you come around to this other situation with Turkey, the Kurds, and the U.S. You know, and that isn't just Turkey. That's also Russia, because Russia ties into the Mueller report. That's also Syria. You know, that's Iran is in that bubble. And we've done shows on all of these things that talk about what's going on in these locations. But the fact of the matter is, everybody is kind of just not really paying attention to what's going on. And if they are paying attention, they're so siloed away in their bubbles that they're not really seeing the blind spots present. We've got to do a better job of researching. And if the research says that we're wrong, we've got to accept that. We can't just start moving forward. Look, like for me, prime example. Me and all of my friends and all of the people that I knew thought Hillary Clinton was scum. Now, she was better than everybody else. that the Democrats were offering. But she was scum. When I decided to do a show on politics, and the show was never released. I have a bunch of shows in the vaults that have never been released, but the show was never released. But when I decided to do a show on politics, I decided that I would look up everything I thought I knew about Hillary Clinton. Just because I thought it was going to give me a bunch of ammo to blast. And what I found, once I fact-checked and eliminated uncredible sources and disproven sources and uncredible arguments and arguments with no sources whatsoever, once I eliminated all of that, I realized that Hillary Clinton is not the monster that I thought she was. And in fact, a lot of the things that I believed about Hillary Clinton were Republican talking points. And even now, a lot of the things that I'm hearing being said about Hillary Clinton, not only are they Republican talking points, but they're Russian talking points talked about in the Mueller report. Verbatim. There have been documentaries on it. So I had to make a very painful decision, and I'm still one of the only people in my circle that doesn't view Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton as the devil. But that took me doing research and accepting what I was reading as truth and changing my opinion on it. When I did a show on prison reform, initially I was pretty excited about it, because we do need prison reform desperately. And just like everybody else, I was excited and I was prepared to give Donald Trump his kudos for signing it, even though the bill was written during the President Obama administration. I was prepared to give him his kudos for signing that. And then I read it. And I realized that this is not what they said it was. This is not really going to help my people. It's not really going to benefit the masses and masses of black people that are locked up right now. And one of the primary reasons is because it's for federal crimes only. And most black people are locked up in state pen, which means it's not going to have any impact on them. Most of the people in federal penitentiaries right now are not black people. So I had to change my stance on that. And that was another one where, again, I found myself all alone. Well, not all alone, because there were a lot of people that came around later and were like, yeah, this is trash. But, you know, it was one of those things where you had to just accept what the information was telling you, and that's just not happening. So that's really one of the primary things I want to accentuate here. Across all of the topics, people need to be more informed, and they're not, and there's no reason for them not to be. There's no reason for people not to be well informed and well understanding of what's going on with all of the information and all of the resources we have out here. So, you know, when we go to the Kurds, the Turkey, and the U.S., that situation is still playing out exactly how it has been. There has been very little change there. Turkey has still pushed in. They're still holding their ground. The U.S. is still backed out. And the Kurds are still in a position. They did eventually run to the hands of Syria and the Russian government, and they are now, they're probably never going to trust the U.S. again. And for that matter, a lot of these countries are not going to trust the U.S. Moving forward. The U.S. has been taking a credibility hit for quite some time, and it's been ratcheted up of recently. Like I spoke about earlier, the vaping crisis, vitamin E. They found a solution for that. Impeachment. Impeachment is going to move forward, and I'm going to give you my prediction on what's going to happen. He's going to get impeached in the House. That's going to happen. And then he's not going to get convicted in the Senate. And he's probably going to win re-election. My prediction. Hong Kong. Hong Kong continues. And it's actually gotten a lot worse than it was when I did the show. The people are now in the streets actively fighting against the police with bows, arrows, Molotov cocktails, man-made explosives. They are actually in a state of open civil unrest where they are actively attacking the police officers, the protesters are, and they're not backing down. Schools are being closed. Hundreds of thousands of people have fled to Taiwan and other places as refugees. And that situation is just continuing to spiral downward. It is not getting any better. There have been certain wins here or there for the protesters, but there still looks to be a lot of fight going on in that part of the world right now. Iran continues to face the issues that it's facing. It just recently began facing a very hard, the economic outlook of the country was already trending downward. It just took a major sharp trend downward when the country tried to raise its gas prices. I think it raised its gas prices by 50%, and the people just started outright rebelling, outright protesting in the streets. And so Iran just took a huge negative downturn. Now, of course, the Trump administration is claiming that its maximum pressure campaign against Iran after the U.S. With no real proof or justification pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal and began imposing extreme sanctions on the country. And they're saying that the protest and the collapse of the country economically is caused by those sanctions. But the fact is that even without those sanctions, Iran would probably still be here, because there's been a boiling over of unrest underneath everything going on in the country. And when they decided to try to raise the gas prices, that was just a step too far. So, you know, when you go to the pump and yesterday gas was $2 a gallon and today gas is $3 a gallon, you know, that's a big deal when you're already facing other economic hardships. So that hasn't changed any at all. The Affordable Care Act is still going through its legal challenges in the courts. And, you know, we'll see what we see with that. The Sudan is still having some turmoil, although it hasn't been getting talked about or reported on as much, because there has been some mediation between the protesters and the people in charge, but it's still an issue. It is calming down, but other issues have taken more center stage, like Iran, like the issue with the Kurds in Turkey, like the Syrian civil war. So those things have kind of overshadowed the Sudan, but it's still there. It's still happening. I talked about the measles vaccines earlier. Venezuela is still doing poorly. Things are getting... it's still doing bad. So, the long game, I'm sorry, rape culture. So, here's the deal with rape culture, and I'm going to be blunt, honest, and you can be mad at me all you want. Rape culture isn't going to change. And you know why it's not going to change? Because people don't really want to change rape culture. People want somebody to blame for rape culture. People want somebody to blame for violence, for rape, for all of the issues that involve the abuse of one person at the expense of another, the powerful using their power to abuse those without it. That's not going to change, because people don't want to change it. They want somebody to blame for it, and then they want to move on. And the reason I say that is because we're not having a holistic conversation. We're not talking about all of the victims of abuse. We're talking about the women victims of abuse. And we're not talking about all of the perpetrators of abuse. We're talking about the male perpetrators of abuse. And we're not even talking about those things holistically, because we're not talking about the culture and the people that instill these values in the abusers. We're just talking about the abusers themselves. And so until we can have a gender neutral, holistic conversation about what's going on, then nothing is really going to change. And I'm not saying that to try to minimize I'm not saying that to try to minimize what's going on in the world for the majority of women. I fully acknowledge that women are the majority of those that get raped, that face physical abuse, sexual abuse. I'm fully acknowledging all of those things. But what I'm also acknowledging is that a lot of those men that have become abusers have been protected by the women in their lives, have been in some cases encouraged by the women in their lives, especially when I'm talking about my community, the Black community. How many men growing up as little boys had little women say, oh, he gonna be a little player, that boy cute, you know, he gonna be a problem, he gonna be this, he gonna be that, he gonna break hearts, he's gonna do all of these things that when he grows up and does them, we qualify, or we quantify it, or we categorize it, or we designate it as abuse. But while he's a kid, we're encouraging him to do that. How many aunties, how many mom's friends, how many moms, how many grandmoms, how many sisters, how many best friends that are females, and, you know, say these things and encourage these types of behaviors? And then when he grows up and becomes that, we look at him funny, as well we should. But the argument here is we should be looking at everybody in his circle funny, not just him. And until we're willing to do that, nothing's going to change, because it's rape culture. It's abusive culture. It's a culture. And in order to change a culture, you have to address all the components of the culture and all the propagators of that culture. And that means men and women alike. But that's a whole deeper conversation as well. Mental health isn't getting any better because people don't honestly want to talk about mental health. Even those people that, a lot of those people that say that they do want to talk about mental health, they don't really want to talk about mental health. Everybody's siloed off into these segments of the community. Nobody wants to be told that there's something wrong with them. But at the same time, we want to acknowledge mental health issues. Well, if you have a mental health problem, there is something wrong with you. And I think that's one of the things that in this politically correct society that we live in, nobody wants to acknowledge that there's something wrong with them. There is, in fact, it is, in fact, possible for something in you to be broken, to be not right, to be not working as intended, or to be working out of step or out of alignment with society, and for you to be functioning in that society in a negative way because of it. Those are all gentle ways of saying that there is something wrong with you. And we all go through periods of time where there is something wrong with us. But until we are willing to face the fact that people can, in fact, be broken, that doesn't mean they can't be fixed. But it does mean that until we are ready to face the fact that it is possible for there to be something wrong with you, we're never really going to solve the problem or really change any stigmas around mental health. What we're going to do is we're going to have everybody on the outward side feeling okay with being broken, but nobody going to get fixed. And people are still going to stay away from people that are crazy, that they feel are crazy. People are still going to stay away from people that have mental health issues and side-eye them. And nothing's ever going to change. So we're going to create a bunch of superficial change, which leads me to the final thing I'm going to say before I get out of here. And I know this is a very dark show. It's a very sinister outlook, but hey, I'm just talking. This isn't prepared. This is just, I got some things in front of me, but I'm just talking. So, and I probably won't do one of these shows again for a while because I don't really feel comfortable doing it. But the other thing is that We have got to get serious about root causing problems and solving those root causes. For the last 100 years, everything that we've done socially and culturally has been superficial. Very superficial in nature. And we could actually go back further than that, but I'm being generous. The civil rights movement was very superficial. It didn't change a whole lot of anything. It didn't change the hearts and minds. It didn't change the attitudes and behaviors. It didn't change economic distribution of wealth. It didn't change social standings or the ability to move up the social ladder or the economic ladder. It didn't change anything on a deep level, which is why we're still having racial issues nowadays. The various workers' movements haven't changed much. And that's because we don't want to make the hard decisions, have the hard conversations, and accept the hard losses that will come. We're trying to create, implement, and sustain meaningful change, deep change. Even our activists, they've become these televised glory hounds seeking to create an immediate impact in situations that have been brewing for centuries. And they want to try to solve it in a week, 2 weeks, 3 years, 4 years. Some of these problems require more than that. And we're doing our children a disservice by telling them that we fought the good fight, but we don't have anything established for them to continue to run with. We don't even have a baton to hand to them, because our world, our war is being waged in digital media. Nothing real world. And then, you know, the web is a great example of how little things have changed, because people feel free to be themselves behind that keyboard, and the internet is one of the most racist, bigoted, xenophobic places you'll ever exist. Anyways, I'm gonna cut the rest of this short because this is running long, but it felt good to get some stuff out a little bit. It did feel good. I actually did have a show prepared, but I decided to do this, and I'm going to actually release this one, because I've tried to do this a couple times and just been like, nah, I'm not going to release that. But I'm going to actually release this one. It'll probably be a while before I do another one, because I don't know that it is a good show. I'm going to listen back to it, but I'm going to release it anyways. I made up my mind. I'm going to release it. I'm going to put myself out there. And I want to see what people think. So let me know what you think. I am going to go back to doing the old shows, but let me know what you think about this show. Was it cool? Was it bad? Was I all over the place? I'm sure I was all over the place. Was I rambling? Did I provide anything? Was it worth listening to? Yeah. I'll see you next week.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the dots that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is. Just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week, or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.